Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the letter of James. I'll be reading from the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. Jeff already made mention of this passage in his time with the children. Now let us listen to it as it comes to us. And let us hear these words as they speak to our lives. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from the 15th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 20. Again, let us listen for God's word in our lives. Then the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands before they eat?" And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." And then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not." For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we continue our series on what is truth. Yes, you probably forgot that series was going on because we took a 2-week break in it. We had a Sermons of Service Sunday, and then we had our guest speaker last week, Dr. Van Dyke from Columbia Theological Seminary. This way, we're picking up on it. What is truth? So since it's been a couple of weeks, I want to just catch us up a little bit. If you'll remember that first week, we looked at the story from the New Testament where Pilate asked Jesus the question, "What is truth?" But what prompts that question is Jesus tells Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Jesus tells Pilate, "I am here to testify to the truth. That's my purpose for being here." And then Pilate says, "What is truth?" And there's silence. Well, that first Sunday, we discovered that to discover truth, we need to discover who Jesus is. Because if Jesus' sole purpose is to proclaim the truth, then we must find out who is Jesus. And the next week, what we did was we explored the silence of Jesus' answer. And we talked about how silence is the womb of truth. Before we can ever begin to arrive at truth, we must. We can't skip it. We must begin in silence. We must begin in stillness and wonder and awe. Silence is the womb of truth. And then that third week, we talked about our thoughts. About how even in the mystery of silence, we cannot escape our thoughts. That we, because we are conscious human beings, are always thinking. And that our thoughts are the seeds of truth. That in the silence, our thoughts then become actual ideas. And ideas become things. And so the thoughts that grow in the silence then become the seeds of truth. And we are called to have the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ, we discover the gentleness and the forgiveness and the justice and the mercy of Christ. And those become the seeds of truth. Well, today, our exploration of truth will continue by considering language. Words. Words as the way we express our thoughts and emotions. You know, language is an absolutely amazing and wonderful thing. We all take language for granted, but it is one of the most amazing, wonderful things about who we are as human beings. I want to read a couple of things for you about language. These things come from the online Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, yet we don't have to go to our shelves to get the Britannica anymore. One person says, language is the expression of ideas by means of speech sounds combined into words. Words are combined into sentences, and this combination answering to that of ideas and thoughts. Sounds become words, words become sentences, and the sentences are expressing our thoughts. A language is a system of arbitrary vocal symbols by means of which a social group cooperates. Arbitrary sounds that we decide as a group what those sounds mean and how we put them together. Every physiological and mentally typical person acquires in childhood the ability to make use as both sender and receiver of a system of communication that comprises a circumscribed set of symbols. We just learned this as children, because we are enculturated by our language. You know, I have always been fascinated with language. My major in college was speech communication. There was an emphasis in theater, but I had a lot of study in descriptive linguistics and phonetics and just exploring language. As a matter of fact, I came out of college with some pretty weird ideas. I told Peg once that when we had children, I was going to experiment and just teach them arbitrary words for things. Fortunately, she prevailed. And both of our children became quite articulate young women. But in studying phonetics and linguistics, we learn that language is particular to culture. That we learn the language, we learn the specific words that are particular to our culture. And they are quite arbitrary. They are quite arbitrary. My Hebrew professor in seminary many years ago, he was a German, and he was old school German. We were adults, and we had to stand by our desk and recite things for him. And he did not hesitate to humiliate when you got it wrong. And one of his favorite expressions was to look at you and say, "A Hebrew baby knows this." And he's right. Because as small children, we learn our language. And because we learn our language culturally, we have different languages that come from different cultures. Language unites us as cultures, and it divides us as cultures. You know, one of the most famous quotes along those lines came from George Bernard Shaw. It's attributed to many other people, but most folks are pretty sure that Shaw was the first to say it. And he said that the British and Americans are divided by a common language. We speak English, but it's different. It's amazing what you can discover out there on the internet these days, but I found out that there are over 4,000 words in everyday use in the United States that are not even familiar to British speakers of English. Just a few of those are bleacher, busboy, podiatrist, odometer, valance, rutabaga. A Brit who's never been to the United States doesn't even know what those words mean. And I'm sure many of us who have visited Great Britain have been confused by the tube and the loo and other things. Our own English is saturated with words from other languages, because our culture is made up of many, many cultures. Whatever happened to the old idea of we are a melting pot? And in our English language, we discover that there is German, there is Dutch, there is Spanish, there's French, there's even Yiddish that we have in our everyday speech. Let's see, just a few I found was from the Dutch, we get coleslaw and waffle. Now, whoever thought that the Waffle House was a Dutch restaurant? From Spanish, we get coyote. From French, we get entrepreneur. We could go on and on and on, not only with those languages, but with primarily with Latin in our English language. The point here is that our language is not something that just exists in a vacuum. It is an organic thing. It grows. There are words in our vocabulary and in our collective life today that didn't even exist 50 years ago simply because we live in different technology. 50 years ago, if you said Google, people would think you had been Googling. Language is dynamic. It changes. And even though we are speaking the same language, so often language still divides us. And it also unites us. We still remain in the United States divided by a common language. Just simple words, dialects, accents. I can't tell you how many times I had to repeat myself with my southern accent. You remember the old song, You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato. Tomato, tomato, potato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. Now the song ends well, because the duet finally decide that just because they say the words differently, they can get along. But let's call the whole thing off. We can't talk here. We can't understand each other because we're speaking the same language but using different understandings of that language. So let's just call the whole thing off. You see, words matter. They have power. You know that little saying we learned as kids, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. It's one of the biggest lies we are taught as children. Words matter. Because I can guarantee you, every one of us are walking around with forgotten bruises on our arms and legs, but deep, deep scars in our psyches because of words. Words matter. And they matter so much in today's society. Have you noticed? If you hadn't, please wake up. But have you noticed how words are being used in our world today? Words are being spun to mean different things. Words are given different meanings. We are actually experiencing what the novel 1984 called doublespeak in our culture today, where I'm saying this, but that's not what I mean. I really mean this. And when you get language convoluted this way, it becomes meaningless. And we've gotten to the point where just outright lying is accepted. Just plain non-truth can just be proclaimed. And the idea is, say it long enough and it will become true. Because words matter. Words are the seeds of truth. They grow. And when we have a lack of communication, we will ultimately end up in violence. How many of you remember that old movie, Cool Hand Luke? One of my favorite scenes in movies is from that movie, and I regret that because of my late decision to use it, we were unable to get the clip to show you, but I was also able to find the script to the movie. But in this scene in the movie Cool Hand Luke has escaped from the prison. And they caught him. And they're bringing him back. And they put him in front of all the other prisoners who are out there working away. And they hammer on chains to his feet. And the captain, the warden, played by Strother Martin, says to Luke, he says, "You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But don't you never stop listening to them clinking. That's going to remind you of what I've been saying for your own good. And Luke says, well, I sure wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain. And at that point, the captain rears back his flapjack and he strikes Luke across the shoulder and the neck and he says, don't you never talk to me that way, you hear? Never. And then he regains his composure and he says, these are the words we all know. What we got here is a failure to communicate. Some men you can't reach. They just don't listen. When you talk reasonable, you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any better than you men. What we have here is failure to communicate. And when you have a failure to communicate, when words become meaningless, we end up with violence. But words are what we have. There was an old Bee Gees song. I promise not to sing it. It said, it's only words, and words are all I have to take your heart away. Words are what we have, and words are important. Words are powerful, and the Scriptures tell us that. Jesus tells us, it doesn't matter what goes in, what defiles is what comes out. We can have the best intentions in the world, but if we use hateful words, if we tell lies, then that is what grows. Somewhere in our language is where we find truth. And truth is what Jesus comes to model for us. So doesn't it make sense that we should pay more attention to what Jesus says and does, and try to imitate that in our daily lives? Oh, James says, the tongue is a small thing, but it can create great havoc and violence. Or it can bring peace and justice. It all depends on how we choose to use our language. Amen. I chose this closing hymn today because it's an old favorite. But it's one of those old favorites that kind of calls us back to what it's all about. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. There are words in here that should be haunting to every one of us, And I want to repeat them. I want to tell the story. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. That's us. Good church folk. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Now, who are the rest? The rest are the people who've never heard the story and they've never experienced God's love and grace, and they embrace it. And we who know the story best hunger and thirst to hear the story like that again. But we come to church and we rehearse the same words over and over again. An amazing, wonderful, powerful, imaginative, creative words become dull. My friends, if we don't use our words to reflect the love of Jesus, then we'd best do the way our mamas taught us. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. But the other side of that coin is to stay silent in the face of injustice is to participate in it. This is our tension. Use your words. That's what my daughter tells our 4-year-old grandson when he gets upset. Use your words. Use your words, my friends. Use them carefully. But tell the story of Jesus and His love. Amen.